You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Hello, everybody. This is Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth, and I'm so glad to be on WYLL AM 1160 outside Chicago. I hope people are listening all over the country. We're going to have the show is streaming, and also we will have MP3s on our website, hopefully, which is AmericansForTruth.com. If you listened last week, you know that I'm talking to somebody I think is very special. Her name is Dawn Stefanowicz, and I've gotten to know Dawn just because we're both in the pro-family movement. Dawn is based in London, Ontario, I believe, in Canada. She is married with two children, and Dawn has a very unique upbringing that she has chosen to share with the world. She wrote a book, which I just read last week, called Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting. It is one of the most riveting books I have ever read. It is a classic case of how truth can be stranger than fiction. In fact, Dawn, I would love there to be a movie made about this, but it would probably get you in a little bit more trouble with some of the people who didn't want you to tell your story.
Oh,
so
That's fine.
But it deserves, everybody needs to read this book, because the lies of the media, of course, are legion these days, basically claiming that homosexual parenting is no different from normal male mother-father parenting. And Dawn, I'd like you to start. First of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to do this show. Can you tell us, why did you decide to write this book and dredge up all these memories? And it's just incredible what you went through with your father, who was a promiscuous homosexual, taking you to find sex partners as sort of a bait, as you said, and all that went on in the house. I think once you actually walked in on him as he was committing the act of sodomy with another man. Tell us why you decided to write this book and tell this story.
Well, first of all, I mean, for my own sense of sanity, I felt compelled to get my words down on paper and tell my story. I felt that there was, various reasons for me writing the book. One of them was personal healing, really, to come to that place of truth. And when you reveal your story with all of the discomfort, with all of the various circumstances that I was raised in, I knew that there would be an upheaval created just by going public. And I wanted to give freedom to other adult children to also feel comfortable enough to share their stories. And on my website, I have, I believe, 10 different links to different adult children's stories that have permitted me to share their stories on my website.
These are children who also had homosexual, one or more homosexual parents.
Right. And I mean, if you read that, I mean, they're like brief essays describing in their own words what it was like to grow up in their particular environment, whether it was a lesbian parent or a homosexual parent. And what you will see is we share a number of commonalities. The majority of us are critical of our parent and partners, whether or not we're on the same side of the issues. I have to say that right up front. So even in the same-sex parenting research where the children and adult children have been questioned, most of the comments that are said during the research are critical of our parent or could be parents and partners, whatever you want to call it. And by the time the conclusions come out, it paints everything as being very hunky-dory, all fine for the kids growing up in this kind of environment, which is so untrue. I mean, we are left to pick up the pieces through this situation. So, you know, we deal with all sorts of stressors. It's very difficult to go public. There will be some family members that are supportive of us. There will be others especially if our parent and their partners are still alive, which may not even want us to go public. And plus the political correctness we have in our culture, it makes it very challenging to even go public in this area. But we have to share the children's needs to have a married father and mother and uphold that as a standard. Because what we're seeing here is not just a redefinition of parenting, moving parenting from the natural biological basis to the more of the social caregiving role, and as just legal parents, we are totally eradicating marriage and parenting and family as we know it. And this is dangerous for children because it's like creating a social experiment for these kids growing up that have no choice in how they are conceived, no choice in how they're raised.
And Dawn, we're going to get into that research in our next segment after the break. But you must have been contacted by so many people who, like you, were raised by homosexual mom or dad or lesbians or homosexual men. And I'm sure a lot of these are not able to tell the story like you were.
Well, they're not. I mean, I've also heard from children raised in bisexual and transsexual households. The challenges that we have are many. It is not easy to share our stories, first of all, the details of which are on both sides, both the gay community and even the Christian community don't want to hear the details. They want that positive story being presented, so we have... In this place, how do we tell the truth? How do we say this is so dangerous for us? Please don't allow other children, whether it's through reproductive technology, foster care, through adoption, or even through original heterosexual unions, don't allow us to grow up in this kind of environment. Please protect us. How do we get our voice heard? That is such a challenge.
And that's why you wrote the book. But talk about this thing you're just saying. I'm curious. When you say Christians don't want to hear it, is it this thing of, explain that more.
Well, I don't want to name it, name any groups here, but I want to say that whether it's within our churches, our pro-family groups, there's a lot of silencing there as well. They'll deal with abortion. They'll deal with divorce. They'll deal with some of the other challenges that people are dealing with. But they don't want to go into homosexual parenting because they feel that they're offending the adults out there that are struggling with their, with same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that the political activists will create problems for them, possibly lawsuits, depending on what jurisdiction you're in and what the laws of the land are. You do have hate crime legislation at this point that... I believe it was October last year that it was passed. So you have that on the books, and that limits what your pro-family groups can do, what they can address, and how they do that. So there is this, within the Christian community, we want to soften things. We want to make things seem, they have this nice fairy tale ending.
It doesn't really fit the sort of the new church, which doesn't want negative stuff. It wants everything to be...
Very positive.
Yeah, I mean, your story is an edgy story, but it's the truth, and it's the truth that needs to be heard. It's a very discomforting truth. I just read your book last week. It's 200 pages of the most incredible story, the things that happened. Let me just read a passage here. This is your brother Thomas, who is your twin brother. I'm reading on page 111 from Don Stefanowicz's book, Out From Under. Thomas found sexually explicit pictures of Dad and Ron, who was one of his longtime partners, right, Don?
Yes.
Sexually explicit pictures of Dad and Ron taped under an old chest of drawers that Dad had given to him. And I'm warning again here, this is not for children, this episode. He brought them over to Brian's apartment and told me I'd better prepare myself to be grossed out. The photos of both men posing nude with full erections had been taken in various rooms of our house, probably on a Saturday, while Mom and I were out running Dad's errands. I mean, this is an incredible story you tell, and... You know, it troubles me that it is so hard to get this truth out.
It is. I mean, we're not only dealing with all these different types of stressors in our home situation, we deal with a significant amount of shame and embarrassment and won't even go to counselors and tell them all the details. We won't share it with, when we become adults, we often don't share the details with our own children. We won't share it with even our very best friends. I mean, I have girlfriends that I've had for years and they had no clue what I had grown up in until they got their hands on my book, read it through, and I remember one phone call I got, and it's representative of my other friends, and she, I was totally shocked. I had no clue, no idea that this is what you grew up in. And I'm so sorry, Dawn, that this happened to you. And, you know, I've told my friends from that there have been many adult children that have contacted me and have shared very similar stories. And it becomes more graphic than even than what's in my book with the younger children, the younger generation that's coming up, where their parents are politically active and regularly attending the gay pride parades. And we have far more choices within the gay communities today that were not available in the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I mean, these kids are, today, the adult children are dealing with a lot of anger, a lot of fear and anxiety. We have prolonged and unresolved grief that we deal with lifelong because we've missed parts of our childhood that should have been fun and easygoing. And instead, we were burdened with our parents' expressed sexuality and even gender identity in the case of where a parent doesn't like being male and they prefer to dress up as a female. I mean, that is possible in our households because we can have various adults coming through the doors and residing in the same house with us.
It's unbelievable. We got a break coming up, Dawn. We're talking to Dawn Stefanowicz. My name is Peter LaBarbera. I'm the president of Americans for Truth, and this is the Americans for Truth Hour. We will be back with Dawn Stefanowicz, who is the daughter of a man. Her father was a promiscuous homosexual, and she's talking about the effects of homosexual parenting. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. This is Peter LaBarbera with the Americans for Truth Hour on AM 1160 WYLL. This is our second episode of the program. I'm Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Americans for Truth is a group which is a single issue devoted to opposing and exposing the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement. As most of you as listeners probably know, the homosexual movement is a very powerful special interest in America and in Canada, where our guest is from, and really pretty much all over the Western world, and now they're trying to get more powerful in the Third World. My website is AmericansForTruth.com, and my guest, who I'm very privileged to have as our debut guest, is Dawn Stefanowicz, who is a wonderful writer, I learned, reading her book, Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting. Dawn wrote this book as the daughter of a father who was a very promiscuous homosexual, and the book details story after story of how he would bring his so-called gay partners into the home. He took his Dawn on to go cruise for gay partners. He would bring her along. Just an incredible story about this young girl who was forced to be exposed to all this and with through no control of her own, and that must be just an incredible thing in and of itself. Dawn, you had no control. You were just, you must have thought many times, why me?
Well, you do, but you have to get past that and learn how to survive in the midst of this, because you really don't have any other choice. You have to choose to make it through this no matter what, and it takes a great deal of faith and hope in the midst of suffering. It's emotionally, mentally challenging to be a child growing up in this environment.
And Dawn, we had talked before the break about the challenges you faced in telling your story. You wanted to get this out. You did face challenges within your own family, correct?
I did, yes.
Some were upset that you were doing this. Are your brothers still upset?
I have a twin brother that was very supportive of me sharing my testimony at the Canadian Senate of Legal and Constitutional Affairs re-hate crime legislation, where I testified in Ottawa, Canada, in 2004. And, you know, he said, Don, he wrote me a personal email letter, and he said, please tell them that children need to be raised by a married father and mother. My younger brother has dealt with things very different from the way my twin brother and I have, and I can't really go into him publicly. He's an adult, and he has a right to his own way of dealing with things. But he wasn't comfortable with me sharing at the Senate. I have not spoken with my brothers for probably over 5 years now. And what I find among the other adult children, there is this distancing that happens not just with their same-sex attracted parent who's actively involved in various relationships. And what happens is that within and among their own relatives, there's this division that occurs. And families, some of your uncles and aunts, as an example, may not allow their own children to associate with you. So you don't see certain relatives growing up. You are isolated often in neighborhoods and at school if people find out about what kind of situation you're growing up in. Now, I don't call that homophobia. I just call that it's a natural way that we protect our own children while they're developing.
And yet, here we are now in America and Canada promoting homosexual parenting to the youngest members of our society, young children in schools. That must just outrage you.
Well, it does. I mean, when I was writing my book, Out From Under, I had not yet, at that point, looked at the research. I hadn't looked at the same-sex parenting studies, and I also hadn't looked at the research behind the causes create homosexual inclinations. And I had to, first of all, look at what the causes of homosexuality are and bisexuality, transsexuality, to really understand my father and forgive him. And so after I looked at that research, I began to understand how, and this is after I had written the backbone of my book, that I was not alone, and there's reasons why I was stressed the way I was in my kind of environment growing up. And then when I looked at the gay parenting research, I was shocked to find that even, again, mostly gay researchers who've interviewed children who are growing up right now in the subcultures or had grown up in the subcultures, how many concerns we share. Over 80% of us are critical of our parent, no matter what our political affiliation is. But by the time the conclusions are written on these gay parenting studies, what will happen is it'll be written from a pro-gay perspective, and it won't be honestly telling you really the ramifications to kids, because it's all about promoting gay parenting, custody rights in the courts, and enforcing same-sex marriage internationally.
And you told me during the break, I think last week, Dawn, that a lot of these, when there's a breakup in these families or a divorce, that there's increasing pressure to, or the political correctness that wants to treat the child, say, oh, it doesn't matter if it's raised with its mother or with the homosexual father, who will likely have all these liaisons like your dad did. Tell us about that a little bit, this politically correct pressure to treat, to say it's all the same where they're raised.
The ex-spouses that have contacted me and they have identified with my mother and the struggle she went through.
Your mother, who is married to a very promiscuous homosexual man.
And so these women are relating to my mother and the environment. And they're saying, I am so glad I went through separation divorce to leave my husband so that my kids don't have to live through what you lived through. But now we're dealing with another problem. And they share how liberal judges, and this is in the United States, it's not just in Canada, but especially in the United States, these judges are ruling for shared parenting between the father and the mother of the children, and that means that possibility of being with mother 2 weeks out of the month, and the other 2 weeks are spent with dad. And what these little kids, and they're often quite young at this point, in preschool years, and young children still, and they're being forced by the courts to live in the shared parenting situation where they are exposed to overt sexual expression, gender identities, and a whole slew of health risks and mental health risks in these kinds of environments. And it's too politically incorrect to really go there. And so the courts are ruling in favor more so towards the gay parent in shared custody, and even in some cases what we're seeing where they're even promoting the ex-partner or the gay partner over the biological mother. So we are dealing with that in, you know, definitely internationally, and people need to understand that these gay parenting studies that are being relied upon by the courts and by legislatures are very, very flawed. If I could just...
Yes, tell me about, and again, you're saying that generally a lot of the information supports your side, but they try to spin it in a way that it's affirming homosexual parenting. Tell us what the basic findings are.
Well, if you just go through some of the key researchers that have looked into the gay parenting studies, there's Dr. Nock, who looked at over 200 same-sex parenting studies, and he says that they contained at least one fatal flaw of design or execution, and not a single one of these studies was conducted according to general accepted standards of scientific research. And there are Dr. Mark...
So let me interrupt you there, Don. So whenever, sure. Whenever we hear the media or some liberal advocate say, oh, all the studies show there's no difference, we hear that a lot. Let's face it. If you're on a talk show, that's often a line that's spouted out by a gay activist. Not
yes.
True.
Then there's Dr. Mark Lerner and Dr. Athena Gay, and they reviewed 49 same-sex parenting studies and found them all to be unreliable, and the sample size is too small for relevance. Then if you were to continue, Dr. Sharon Quick, who's one of the doctors in my foreword, she looked at 63 same-sex parenting studies and again found them all to be flawed. She found that they were not at all involving heterosexual parents. Most of the studies were comparing lesbian single mothers with heterosexual single mothers. And these researchers were biased. They included lesbian participants with higher education and income levels while removing those with mental health issues or criminal records. And often the parents spoke on behalf of the dependent child. And in a few cases where children were asked questions, their responses were qualified. She also reviewed the technical report published in 2002 in Pediatrics, the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP, which was also used as evidence for the American Medical Association's policy statement supporting the practice of same-sex co-parent adoptions. In this technical report, she found that 57% of the references were inaccurately quoted. Unfortunately, some of these technical report quotations from this 2002 journal, these errors have been carried through to the pediatrics report, The Effects of Marriage, Civil Union, and Domestic Partnership Laws on the Health and Well-Being of Children, which was published in Pediatrics, July 2006. Dr. Sharon Quick, among other doctors, actually wrote a letter to the editor of the Pediatrics. It's supposed to be a professional magazine, and they declined to revoke that report, even though they were obvious proof was provided that many of these quotations were in error.
It's amazing, Dawn, and let's get into that in the next segment. And so we have evidence of bias in these studies, and yet the studies are routinely cited as if the case is already proven that there's no difference between children raised in a normal household and children raised by two lesbians or two homosexual men. We're talking with Don Stefanowicz, who has written a book called Out From Under, which we are offering at AmericansForTruth.com. Send us an email. Go to the website AmericansForTruth.com. You can order the book Out From Under. The price will be probably about $20 postpaid. This is a wonderful book which gives abundant evidence about the effects of being raised in a deviant household. Dawn's father was a promiscuous homosexual man. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Peter LaBarbera with the Americans for Truth Hour. Thank you. Welcome back. back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.com. I'm the president of a group based outside Chicago called Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We are a single-issue group devoted to exposing and opposing the homosexual, bisexual, transsexual activist movement. And I'm on the phone here with Dawn Stefanowicz, who I've come to admire over the years as a stellar pro-family activist. And Dawn, before I get started, I want to give out your website, and I want to tell listeners who want to help you. You are in Canada. You cannot even claim a tax deduction, correct, because of the political correctness in your country?
Absolutely.
And can you explain why that is, why a gay organization, a homosexual organization, I should say, in Canada can get a tax deductible gifts, but you cannot?
Well, we have same-sex marriage in Canada, and we've had it since June, July 2005. And since that became law, anyone who is nonprofit and has charitable status can no longer come out and say that anything wrong with homosexuality or anything wrong with same-sex parenting or homosexual marriage. So anyone that does cannot. There's no benefit to become nonprofit, and I'm not able to get charitable tax status. So I can't issue tax receipts at the end of the year to anyone who donates to me.
Which would stop maybe somebody who wanted to give you a very large gift. He's not going to get a tax deduction, but the gay organization can get that gift.
They can get that gift because the laws in Canada, we have hate crime legislation, we have same-sex marriage, we have human rights tribunals and commissions right across in each province, which is like a state, each of the states having their own commission. We also have a federal human rights commission. What those bodies do, they're like separate agencies of the government that have far more power than courts. We're not allowed to bring in our rights to defend ourselves. 95% of the people that are approached with a complaint from the Human Rights Commission, 95% of them cannot afford the legal cost to even fight for their rights, and they end up settling outside, and we never hear about them.
Could you summarize the case of was it Stephen Boisson, the pastor who wrote a letter, very strongly worded letter, critical of homosexual behavior, and he was prosecuted, right?
He was. I mean, he's a pastor, but I believe he's also involved in some level of street ministry dealing with youth that we're dealing with all sorts of issues, including same-sex attraction. And just because of his letter that he wrote to the local newspaper, like to the editor, he was charged with a human rights complaint.
And this was where?
This was in, I believe, Alberta. And
okay.
What the outcome of that was, he was told that he could not make any kind of public statement or even private statement. So his emails, his speaking engagements, his interviews, anything that he would say within a church environment that would be considered public, he was not allowed to express any kind of opposition to homosexuality or talk about the negative impact of the lifestyle long term.
Well, let me stop you there. That's something that I think the average American would just be appalled by, that a government agency in your country, in Canada, actually told this pastor that he could not say anything critical publicly about homosexuality. It's
yeah.
Flabbergasting.
Well, we've had another pastor just recently in Calgary, and his charitable status was revoked because of his position statements on divorce, abortion, and homosexuality.
And what was his name?
Well, it's a Polish last name, and I don't have it in front of me, but he has a street ministry as well, and it's just come out in the last month or so, an article on him if you wanted to look it up. But his story is not at all dissimilar from this other pastor.
Wow.
And that's what we have happening. Yeah, and Calgary, I would have to say that a lot of the people there are very family-oriented, very traditional in their mindset. And yet the government seems outright opposed to traditional values and wants to bring in persecution.
It's appalling. And so I'm going to make a pitch here for Dawn Stefanowicz, which she needs help. If you want to send a donation, it is not tax deductible. And Dawn, tell our listeners who want to send you a non-tax deductible gift how they can do that.
They can go to my website at dawnstefanowicz.org or .com or .net, doesn't matter. They can.
Can you spell that for him?
All right, I'll spell it. www.dawnstefanowicz.org O-T-E-F as in Frank, A-N as in Nicholas, O-W, I, C as in Charles, Z as in Zacchaeus, .org. When they go there, there's PayPal. That's an option that they can choose. There's also, they could mail a check to me. They could, there might be some other ways, but primarily PayPal, or they could mail a check. And I will acknowledge that they have sent me something, but I cannot issue a tax receipt because of Canadian laws.
Okay, so let's take out the pocketbook and let's support Dawn, because she is a courageous woman here telling this story. She didn't have to tell this story. We have her book, which I just read, Out from Under. It's a wonderfully written book. Very difficult story, though, and the truth is ugly, especially in your case. I mean, didn't you once walk in on your father engaging in homosexual relations with another man once, Dawn?
I did. And people have to understand that it isn't just witnessing overt expressed sexuality in its various forms, but it is often the what is left on set. It's not just political correctness, but in these environments, we cannot come out and say, you know, Dad, what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're living your life is hurting me.
And I'm struck at your book how you wanted fatherly affection. That's all you wanted, and your brother's the same. And yet your father, explain a little bit about that, how he wasn't able to just give that affection. He was incapable of it almost.
He was, and he had his own issues he was dealing with. There's he was involved in a lot of risk-taking activities, even though he was by all appearances, a very conservative businessman who owned and ran his own executive recruiting company in downtown Toronto. So, I mean, I grew up in, by the time I'm 12, I'm in a very posh neighborhood, and everything from the outside looks very good. I mean, we're going on family vacations to Florida, to Acapulco. We are, living in a nice neighborhood and have beautiful furniture inside, but the emptiness in our personal lives is just so dramatic. And it is the thoughts and feelings that I was not allowed to express in this kind of environment growing up. And I wasn't the only one who impacted. My younger brother left home at age 15. He actually ran away from home. My twin brother attempted suicide. My mother had a nervous breakdown. All of my dad's partners, whether they were currently partnered or ex-partners, I had mentioned in a previous interview with you that two of my dad's partners had committed suicide by the time I was 9 years old, and I was just grief-stricken. I had no one to go to about that. But I was, over the years growing up, was jealous of my dad's partners because they got far more attention and time than I did with my own father. And I felt as well there was pressure to protect my parent and his various partners. It wasn't just the exposure to diverse sexuality. It was many challenges I had understanding relationships. I had difficulty with intimacy and trust. I had challenges with my faith in God because I couldn't understand that God would allow me to grow up in this, and that there was no one out there who could really help me. There was nowhere to go. None of my relatives opened up their home and said, Dawn, I'm going to take you in and you can grow up here. There was no support. And today, the children growing up have absolutely no support. They're being told you have to be tolerant of this situation no matter what. And you end up hiding these enormous family secrets that you would never go to your priest or your pastor about. You would never go to your closest friends with, because people,
You carry that around for a long time. And you must have been a brave little girl. I mean, you had all this, you were exposed to these. Even in your book, you talk about the vacations, Acapulco and Florida. Wasn't your father hooking up with guys? In fact, part of it was, didn't the Florida trip involve him and his boyfriend more than his, the wife and the rest of the family?
Yes. All family vacations. I mean, I start giving those examples. I think I'm about age 9, and we're off to Florida. And I'm trying to figure out why my dad, his partner, and my mom are in the front seat. And I assumed in my little way of being innocent that, oh, I guess he's come along for the ride to provide directions.
It's very sad.
But it's there's
but actually, he was going with your father on the vacation. What this is his partner Ron? This is one of his long-term partners?
Yes. I mean today what you're going to have is you're going to have people involved in this are going to have maybe it appears they have one partner, they could have more than that. Living within the household, so this idea of legal three-parent situations that we have in Ontario, and I believe Pennsylvanians and some other states have allowed for three-parent situations, we grow up in that already, whether it's legal or illegal. We have all sorts of adults in our home environment from the GLBT subcultures with all different types of different, you know, various values. You know, Dr. George Reekers, he looked at over 200 cases of children from homosexual households, and he found they faced numerous stressors, including growing up with a homosexual parent. And the children experienced changing living arrangements, varied cultural values, premature exposure to expressed sexuality, the consequences of parental partner addictions, adult physical and mental health issues, lower life expectancy, domestic violence, multiple partners, varied gender identity expressions and role models, and the children are left traumatized. If you look at the American College of Pediatricians, they have an excellent statement called Parenting Issues, Homosexual Parenting, Is It Time for Change? I recommend that the listeners go and check out the American College of Pediatricians website, because when I first came across this statement, I actually cried. I felt affirmed deep within that there was one other organization out there that was willing to support children being raised in a normal, traditional-type household.
Yes, we need allies, and let's pick up on our final segment, and that is a wonderful feeling to know that you're not alone. But we're talking to Dawn Stefanowicz, who's a very brave woman who told her story of living with a homosexual, promiscuous homosexual father. I'm Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour and AmericansForTruth.com. We have one more segment coming up. Hello and welcome back. We're here with our final segment on the Americans for Truth Hour with our guest, Dawn Stefanowicz, who is just a wonderful writer and a great Christian woman who's had the courage to tell her story of being raised by a homosexual father who lived a very promiscuous lifestyle, even as he was living with Dawn's mother, who apparently he was often away. Is that correct, Dawn? Your father was often out of the house at these very assignations and other apartments, etc.
He was. I mean, he had a few different residences. He traveled quite a bit throughout North America. But he also brought partners into the home.
Yes, he did. And there's some stories in there. And I encourage you to get this book out from under. You can write an email to us. Go through the website, AmericansForTruth.com. We're going to buy a case of Dawn's books. And I'm going to promote this as much as I can, because I truly believe this is one of the most important books in the pro-family movement. And I just applaud Dawn for writing it. And it's very well written. You can read it in one sitting. And you will be riveted like I was. Now, Dawn, you were summarizing the research. And I would like you to give a little more briefly, if you could, on the effects of homosexual parenting, and if you could, once in a while, relate it to some of the things you found growing up.
Certainly. If I could just bring in, there's a paper by Dr. Fitzgibbons called Same-Sex Unions and Adoption, Placing Adults, Children, and the Culture at Risk, and it describes in detail the important contributions each father and mother make in the healthy development of their children. I've never seen such a thorough listing of the developmental needs of children for both a father and a mother. And gender is very, very important to the development of children. Dr. Dean Bird also has provided testimony in 2007 in the United Kingdom on same-sex adoption. He also goes into scientific evidence on the importance for optimal child development.
When you say gender, explain that, Dawn. You mean the two genders?
Yeah, there's only two genders. There's male and female, and there's something in the middle called hermaphrodite, which is a biological, very rare instance where a person could be 40% male, 60% female. And, I mean, that's a whole other area. But what you'll see is the transsexual, transgendered movement actually has hijacked this hermaphrodite biological situation and almost like taken ownership and said, we want to be under that umbrella and our issue considered biological, even though if you look at right into the DNA of transgendered, transsexual individuals, they are either male or female.
Yes.
They're 100% male or female. I do want to talk about, just mention very briefly, we know the research on fatherlessness. So children growing up in lesbian households are going to be told and by example showing that males are not important, that they're not valued, they don't love them, and there's a lot of hatred towards males in lesbian households. And lesbians, when they have children, especially if one of them conceives a child and begins to nurse the child, there's quite a bit of jealousy between the partners over the child, who's spending time, who's bonding with the child. And you won't see that same level of jealousy or the challenges there in the relationship between husband and wife. There's, again, the differences in gender actually very they complement the developmental needs of children. Also, there's an excellent paper called 21 Reasons Why Gender Matters, where Mike Hatfield examines the many benefits of binary gender complementarity, and I really recommend that people get that. Dr. Bird did a paper a few years back called Gender Complementarity and Child Rearing, where tradition and science agree the often overlooked health risks to children in homosexual environments. He also brings in there, and he brings in historical and current research, which provides significant concerns about the medical and mental health consequences of homosexual practices, as well as the instability of homosexual relationships.
Now, you experience that, obviously, that instability. I mean, is there something you can relate to also with the homosexual men? I mean, obviously, you were there, and if it was anything, it was unstable.
Well, on my website, I have other adult children's stories. And people can read other stories. There's also a summary testimony that I put on from my own experience. And I witnessed transient relationships. This comes up again and again in the research and from adult children and from ex-spouses and other family members that have contacted me who know of children currently being raised in the situation or were raised in the situation. And again, we're dealing with a huge long-term impact. I've had, adult children that write me and they're in their 60s and their 70s and they're still dealing with extreme level of depression. Sometimes there's sexual addiction. You'll notice that over their lifetime, they've made sometimes some poor choices in relationships. And it really goes back to the fact that we've not had presented to us a normal, healthy, heterosexual model of mother and father, female and male, bonding and the benefits that are derived in a wholesome environment for children to be raised in.
Yes, I was struck at one story in your book that your father was hitting on your brother's, I think it was your twin brother's friend who came over to visit at the house.
Yeah, he was a minor, and I was not sexually involved with him. He was very, very attractive. He had the most gorgeous marine blue eyes I've ever seen. His eyes were fascinating to me. It was like girls would have just like fallen for him. And, you know, he was very innocent, and I really felt afraid to bring my any of my male friends, and so did my twin brother, to our home, because if my father came home and saw that we were with a very good-looking male, he could approach him, and that's what happened, unfortunately, with this minor. And
tell us that story briefly.
He
basically hit on this teenage boy, and so
I was stunned. Though I was so upset, I was so angry, and I write in there that if my dad had been wearing a peacock feather, I would have strangled him. No, I did not hate my dad. Okay, don't get me wrong.
No, I applaud the way you handled the story, because I want to make clear here, this is not just a tell-all angry at the father. Dawn goes through and she says she forgave her father, and her father ultimately accepted Christ and is forgiven, and she hopes to see him in heaven. But the reality of what her father put the family through is certainly a lesson for all of us. And the selfishness I was struck by, Dawn, just the utter selfishness of it.
Well, it is a narcissistic set of subcultures. I mean, these are adults that are consumed by their own desires, their own preferences, and children are just hijacked for whatever purposes they have. Yes, there are some conceived, at this point, heterosexual unions are the primary way that we're conceived. People think lesbians are just involved with other women. They actually will have, over their lifetime, on average, more male partners than the average heterosexual woman. They actually have more abortions than heterosexual women. And what I found in the research is that lesbian health risks, I have a story on my website of a woman growing up with a lesbian mom, and her mom died of vulva and breast cancer. I've heard from other people who've had a lesbian sister, and she died of brain cancer. And what hasn't been studied are the lesbian health risks. we as children growing up will see often, we will outlive our parent. Quite a range here. Like, we can lose our parent in, as children, in our teens, or even in our 20s. And I was 29 when my dad passed away of AIDS. I do not have a grandfather for my children. My kids have never met my dad. It's very sad long term, that we don't have those healthy relationships long term, where you have, in a normal family, you should have some generation after generation of relatives and,
yes,
and have that just shared healthy memories and experiences.
And that's a very practical effect, Dawn, and we're running out of time. I want to tell people how to help you. Your website is dawnstefanowicz.com. That's dawnstefanowicz.com. And our website is americansfortruth.com, and we'll have links and we'll have this interview posted on our website. This is Peter LaBarber, and you've heard, Dawn, I thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you so much, Peter.
And God bless you and your efforts. Please help Dawn and help Americans for Truth. You can order Dawn's book, Out From Under, at americansfortruth.com. Send us an email. We're going to probably offer it for about $20 postpaid. And I encourage you to come back to the website and support Americans for Truth and support groups like Dawn's, who is just trying to get the truth out about what's really happening in the situation with homosexual parenting.
The Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 1 a.m., to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. Tune in at 1 a.m. next Saturday on AM 1160.